5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Polarization just keeps getting worse in Washington. It's as bad as they've ever seen it, and it seems to be making Americans very upset.
Impeach 45!
This is politics.
Impeach 45!
Is this where we want to set the bar for future presidents?
Clinton was the worst in history.
It was a vote along party lines that made President Clinton only the...
I'm not for gay marriage.
I believe marriage is between a man and a woman.
There's marriage is between a man and a woman.
And so does John.
Obama nor I support redefining what constitutes
national. A limousine was set on fire downtown.
It's my decision.
It's not a baby.
The protesters hurled
U.S. Navy has confirmed the existence of
Welcome back to Bob and Weave, guys. Sorry about last week.
They didn't notice. No one noticed.
No one noticed
that there
that
was
we
no
going.
Episode last week.
Sometimes things happen and we need to move on.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what we're doing this week.
What happened last week was for launch, we on Wednesdays, we record the follow up for Truth and Justice. And then then we go to lunch and then we take turns buying lunch and have contests to see who can spend the most money at lunch.
Mike's still winning.
Yeah. And then we come back and do Bob and Weave. But last week, instead of getting takeout, we sat down at Wings, Etc. and had appetizers and wings and drinks and came back here with zero motivation left to make a podcast.
That's how it goes.
And I got to be honest with you, my feelings are pretty hurt that it's now 1 p.m. on Wednesday. Not a single post or comment wondering where the episode is. Somehow we've managed to get 200,000 downloads of this podcast and no one notices when we don't post an episode.
It's okay. We love you guys.
Yeah.
Also, happy post-election day.
Yeah. So I had this super idea that Zach vetoed.
Yeah. Quickly vetoed.
So we're recording this last week, but right now when you're watching this or the day this drops is the morning after election day.
And I'm going to go out on a limb right now and say that we still do not know who the president is.
There we go. Maybe some predict. What I wanted to do was do the first half of the episode as though Biden won and have a conversation about that, and the second half as though Trump won. But then we decided, mostly Zach decided, that no matter what we do in either segment, people are going to be pissed off by whatever we say.
That is 100% true. No one's going to like it.
Nope.
No, not at all.
Nope. Can't get by the anyway.
But yeah, I have a strong feeling that by the time this episode drops, we are still not going to have a decided leader.
So these are our predictions. So if people are watching this after it's over, your prediction is we don't know who the leader is.
That's exactly it. By the time this comes out, we will still not know if Trump will stay president or if Biden will be the new president.
I think the only way that we're going to know is if there's a land, because what we have going for us is as of right now today, which is last Wednesday, there've already been half the amount of people that voted in the previous election have already voted.
That's pretty intense.
I'm not saying half of those people. I'm saying the number wise. So yeah, like 120 million people or so voted in the 2016 election. And as of today, 60 million people have already done early voting.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah. So
I don't even know how to early vote. I know how to vote. Right. I've voted several times. just go there on the day that I'm supposed to. But like, I see right. people constantly every day, like posting, like, I voted. I'm like, how the fuck did you vote?
Right. Apparently, I think Bertrand here doesn't do that because there's just, it's so small of a population.
That makes sense.
There's like 30 people in the whole township. So they just let us all go on the same day.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of people vote early, but like I said, I don't, mm-hmm. I don't, how do I get over there?
I don't know. I should say after our kidnapping court packing episode that in discussions we had on the fan page, really good discussions, I'm no longer concerned about mail-in voting as I was. I still think there are issues with it. There are definitely issues with it, but it seems that the issues are pretty minuscule. Yeah, there's a lot of security measures in place for all that. So
there's been a lot of good discussion on the fan page. And if you guys aren't on the fan page, the Bob and Weave fan group, fan discussion page, I don't know what it's called.
Fan group, I think it's called.
Yeah, the Bob and Weave fan group. Go join. Ask to join. They'll probably ask you some questions like, who are the hosts? But, right. you know, you should know by now because it's literally in the title.
Yeah, and we used to introduce ourselves every episode.
I'm the Weave.
And I'm Bob.
There we go.
yeah, and good chance you can look at the entire audience of Bob and Weave setting me straight and arguing with me through the whole page. I noticed you never get tangled up in any of that bullshit.
It's because I don't say anything. Right. People seem to like to get on you, but I don't say anything.
I ask for
it. Also, I don't like a lot of this stuff.
Right. So. Not a politics guy.
Not a politics guy at all.
I asked for it bad on the last one. The episode, I got into some stuff that I had concerns with,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, is still upset about this whole court packing idea, and I'm still upset that there's not a clear answer on it. But there was stuff where I talked about the ballots, the mail-in ballots, and this and that, so that started people, and it had some really good, like, everybody's super respectful. Like, we disagree, mm-hmm. but we have... good discussions, and I learned some things a lot of times. But so like that kind of settled down, and then the debates happened that night, and then I got in the morning. I'm like, so what do you guys think about the debate? And I think I said something like, I see Trump lying and Biden lying, and I'm sick of both of them. And that was the wrong thing to say if you don't want to be on the Facebooks for the next 10 hours.
Speaking of lies, we just saw a phenomenal lie before we came in the studio. That the White House, what was it? The White House Science and right. Technology Division said that the Trump's greatest accomplishment was ending the pandemic.
Yeah. Or it said, it didn't say Trump. It was one of their science commission or whatever on all this said that as I read it, it said their greatest accomplishment as the first order of their organization was that they ended the pandemic.
Maybe they meant like when it happens.
Yeah.
Like when this happens, this will be a great accomplishment.
To be fair, all I read was the headline. So the article.
I mean, all I read was the headline too, but that's a pretty outstanding lie.
I think I said, I'm so sick of this bullshit. Oh my God, everybody needs to stop talking. So do you have a prediction of who you think when the dust does settle, who the president's going to be?
Oh man, I don't know. It's going to be close. I tend to agree with kind of some of your feelings that there is a silent minority out there. That is going for Trump. You know, I see a lot of it. The Democrats seem to be very vocal, but there's a lot of people that I know that are Trump supporters still. I'm not voting for either one of them. Yeah. I can go on record right now and say I'm not voting for either one of them.
A picture of my ballot.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be close. And what's crazy is I don't think it's going to be close, and I still don't know who's going to win.
Yeah, it'd be a landslide one way or the other.
I think that this big wave of early voting is probably, and again, we're a week ahead of you guys, I'd say it's probably 80% Democrat.
Okay.
Is what they're saying. That, you know, it's in like, you know, areas that are known to be very blue areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, I mean, well, obviously Biden's off to a commanding lead just based on the early ballots, but I mean, it's kind of showing a trend. But I think that, you know, so that could mean that people are going to come out in droves and vote for Biden, and he's going to win by a landslide. Or, I think it also probably has worked to rile up the Republican base.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that maybe weren't going to go out and vote, and they're like, "Oh shit, they're saying on the news that, you know, 50 million Democrats have already gone out and voted. I better get my ass to the polls." And there could be a wave the other way. I don't think the polls mean shit. I think that. I think that, like you said, there's that silent majority. There's just a lot of going back a few episodes when I said, you know, to say that somebody that votes for Trump is a racist or like that's not the case. There's reasons for people to choose to vote for people,
mm-hmm.
even if they don't agree with them or a lot of the things. so like a lot of people that I know that are like reasonable people that have straight up told me that they're going to vote for Trump for X, Y, or Z reason, but they're not. They literally said, someone very close to me last 2 nights ago said, I tell people that I don't know who I'm going to vote for, but I'm definitely voting for Trump, but I'm not going to tell anybody that.
I honestly think that if you're going to tally up the independents, if it was one person, they would have a good shot. I think if you look at the votes tallied up from the different independents that are out there, I think they're going to get more votes than people realize. Now, none of them will win. Like, it's just not going
to
happen.
Dude, I was talking to my, it's so upsetting. I was talking to my dad the other night, and I was talking to him about Jurgensen. Mm. And my dad is a news guy, like always on the news. He watches that channel on DirecTV that has all the major news networks. You know, so he's watching both sides all the time, news junkie. Still gets a newspaper and reads it every day, which I don't know how many people do. And I mentioned Jurgensen, and he said the same thing I said 6 months ago. Who's he?
Yeah.
I'm like, you serious? Like, even and I told him it's a woman, and she's running as a libertarian. He's like, I've never even heard that name. Never even heard it. And so I think the third parties will get some votes, but I don't think it's going to be significant because most people don't even know who they are.
Yeah. And maybe that's just me. In my bubble, you know, obviously on the show, we talk about bubbles a lot, but obviously I kind of lean libertarian and have a lot of libertarian friends.
Right.
And I see that, but I think there's going to be a lot of people voting libertarian. There's a lot of people going to be voting Green Party, Tea Party, Masquerade Ball Party, whatever party. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because like, people are just fed up with it.
Yeah. I think, is there a Green Party candidate?
I think there is Green. I couldn't tell you who
because
it is.
Because I feel like a lot of the ticket right now on the Democrat side, the Harris-Biden ticket is... It would be hard to have a Green Party pulling away from them because they're, you know, there's a lot of environmental issues that they're talking about.
I believe there's five. I believe there's five candidates on the ballot. I could be wrong.
Yeah,
maybe we should have looked at that before. That we weren't supposed to be talking politics, first of all. So
we'll find out yesterday.
We'll find out
when we go to the polls. Yeah. But yeah, I think that I don't know. I think either there's just going to be a massive blue wave, and Biden's going to win, or I think if not, it's going to be the other way, and it's going to be an absolute shocker, which is what you know. That was my prediction. Back during the primaries, when looking at the direction the Democrats were going, that you know there could be a lot. But then, of course, then the pandemic happened, and that changed a lot of things. But I think there could just be another that no one saw coming, a big massive sweep. I think that Biden hurt him in that debate. You said you didn't watch the debate.
Nope, not at all.
Yeah, it just he at the end he got on to oil, and that was you know because Texas is something that's always red. Mm-hmm. Texas is a state that was actually in play. Like, okay. I think that there was a legitimate chance that the Democrats could take Texas finally. And then Biden at the end of towards the end of the debate said that he was going to eliminate all fossil fuels and eliminate oil. And he said, cut off their subsidies because they pollute. And some of it like was, he later, you know, like on the way to his plane kind of corrected. I'm not quoting him. Although, also, any of you guys should know, when somebody said one time I was irresponsible for what I said about my... This is an opinion show. We're not news people. So, don't get your news from us. We're just talking. But on his way to the plane, he was like, no, I just meant that, you know, over time, we're going to phase it out and stuff. But that's not on the debate stage. He just went right after oil. And Trump, like a jackass, was like, are you listening, Texas? Are you listening, Pennsylvania? Are you listening to all these states? And I think that his people know that hurt him. That's why he backtracked it immediately. Mm-hmm. And I think that is going to hurt him in some of those swing states. So I don't know. I think it's either going to be a landslide Biden. I think we will know who the president. However, I think by right now, when this episode drops, we'll know who the president is, but neither side will have conceded.
Okay. Yeah, I still am on the bandwagon of we won't know.
Yeah, I just think that it's going to be, you know, there's going to be big enough margins that it's not going to be. It seems like the mail-in issue is not going to be the issue that I necessarily thought it was. There was actually a ruling the Supreme Court for Wisconsin, I think, where they were basically saying that you know your ballot had to be postmarked on Election Day, and they were saying no, it has to be received by Election Day, which a lot of, you know, some people say that's, you know, stifling the vote, but I'm disenfranchising voters, whatever it is. They're trying to stop people from voting. Some people think that they just need to be in by that time. I'm not even going to weigh in on an opinion on it, But there's things that have been put in place that are saying, you know, the ballots have to be in on election day.
Well, that would make sense. I mean, in my head, that makes sense. I mean, that's the election day. That's when the votes are cast. Why would it not be?
Right. I could see the other side of that argument, too, if they're saying postmarked by, because the fact that, okay, I can wait till the day of election to decide who I want to vote for. But then it brings in this issue. It's like, okay, yeah, but now election day was 4 days ago and we still don't have your ballot.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think those numbers are going to be enough to. I think we'll know. I think if Biden wins, Trump's going to be screaming election fraud and, you know, demanding recounts and not conceding. And I also think if Trump wins, Biden's going to be doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to be. I think it's going to be a mess, but I think that we're going to know. And if I had to make a prediction, I don't even want to say this is not who I want to win. It's definitely not who I'm voting for. But if I have to make a prediction, I think Trump's going to win. And I think people are going to be shocked by the margin he wins at. And hopefully I'm wrong, but that's what I think is going to happen.
All right, listeners, if you're still with us after that proclamation.
There's going to be people watching this next week or today when you guys are watching this, mm-hmm. either going, ha ha, you're wrong, motherfucker, but or son of a bitch, you're right. I don't think there's not a lot of Trump supporters on our fan group.
No,
so I don't think anybody's going to have their feelings hurt that way.
That's okay. But if you're still with us after Bob's proclaiming that, we're getting away from fucking politics because I'm real over it right now.
How are we going to have an episode drop on election, the day after election day, and not at least touch on the election?
I know. And guess what? We'll probably talk about politics next week because we have to, because it's the fucking day after election day.
Right. Yeah.
But
at least we know what we're talking about next week.
That's true. But right now, I pose the question to some of our listeners,
mm-hmm.
is what does your new normal look like? Not political, literally in your household.
Which people could not follow the goddamn rules on our page. This is not my fault. It's not just me. Our page is hyper political. And again, a great group of respectful people that can debate,
mm-hmm.
but they can't stop. It's like, not political at all, but just what's your new normal look like? The first 10 comments. Well, Trump did blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I was reading that whole thing and how many times you're like, right, but what's your new normal look like and without politics?
Yeah. Maybe I just didn't pose the question well enough. I don't know.
I think it's just on the forefront of everyone's mind right now. Especially, you know, people that listen to us, I think they're engaged in a lot of this stuff and it's just hard to get that out of your mind. It's right there. It's on mine a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I've given up on the presidential race, if that makes sense.
Well, like I told you, my last week has been spent on a local individual that I know that has spiraled out of control into like paranoia, threatening local government officials and all. Lance, if you're listening and you still haven't done this,
he said his name right on it.
Please turn yourself in. And help everybody. I'm going to use this platform for any reason. If you're listening for some reason, please turn yourself in and get this over with.
You said his name.
I didn't say his whole name. He knows if he's listening, he knows that I'm talking to him.
Is he a listener?
He might be. He might. Anyways, moving forward. That's what I want to talk about, is moving forward.
Can I say that I gave up on the president race? And I'm actually more concerned about the Senate race at this point.
You did. Yeah. Well, you haven't said that. You told me that earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the presidency is going to mean very little of shit. It's going to be whoever wins the Senate is going to be who shapes our next 4 years. Anyway, go ahead.
Did you hear that? Crickets.
Crickets. I said, go ahead.
I let it sit there.
Let it marinate.
Moving forward. What's everybody's new normal? That's what I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I know my life has changed drastically moving forward out of this. And what I mean is out of this COVID, out of this lockdown, out of this quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we're all out of quarantine. We may be going back into quarantine. I don't know what's happening.
We for sure going back in. We going back in.
Yeah, I'm afraid of that. But you know what?
Flu season, man. Flu season's going to get us all.
One of the things that my family has done, and when I say my family, I mean my wife and myself and my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Can't speak for my whole family because some of them are pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, one of the things we've really done is focus a lot more locally, more than we've ever done before. Try to shop a lot more locally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're still buying stuff off the internet. You're doing that type of stuff. But like, as far as like, you know, getting produce, you're getting produce locally. You're not going to like a big store.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to a farmer's market. You're doing things like that. And I think, you know, I can't say that I wouldn't have done that before, but this really helped me hyper-focus on aspects like that of life that I didn't think of before.
You know, when it first started, when the lockdown first started and our restaurants got shut down and they could only do takeout, we were, Becky and I were big into that. We tried to, not often, because we, you know, part of our new normal was a lot of home-cooked family meals, not just, you know, because we have, you know, we've got busy kids, teenagers. So there's, you know, like right now, Bella's in volleyball. I never see, like, Becky hasn't got to sit down and have dinner with us or Bella this whole season because her coach, for some reason, they have practice at 5:30 in the afternoon. So she gets off school, comes home, and then they have to leave at 4:45 to go back. And then it's me and the boys having dinner. And then it goes back to, you know, they get back at 8 o'clock and eat whatever. But prior to that, we were eating because nobody had anything going on. Sports were all canceled and we were eating meals at home all together. Every night was really nice. But we tried to at least once a week order some takeout and it was, and we would only do our local, the place we went today for lunch was one of them, you know, just to try to help keep them afloat to go get that.
No, that was a big thing for us too, is when we did order out to order local food, order small business or, you know, go that route, stop going to fast food, stop, you know, it just, we need to all help each other. And I think maybe part of that is I own a small business.
Right.
Now we were closed the whole time, but I know the importance of what that dollar means to somebody.
Right.
You know, that dollar to Mikey's Drive-In in Bridgman means a lot more than that dollar to McDonald's in Bridgman.
Right.
It's a big deal. You know, so I think that was a huge thing for us. And you talked about sitting down every, you know, having meals together. I don't know that my boys knew where the dining room table was up until quarantine.
Oh, really?
I mean, we never ate at the dining room table.
Would you guys just eat? Just
ate sit wherever, sit whenever. In the living room. You know, I didn't get off work till 8 o'clock, home by 8:30.
Oh, yeah. I forgot with your schedule. Yeah.
Yeah. So we just ate whenever, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
But being home, having quarantine, like we finally used our dining room table. It was used for more than just clutter.
Right, you know? Right.
And we've tried to kind of continue to do that moving forward. And I think that's a big thing that I hope people are taking out of this is that closeness. You know, we had to be quarantined all together for so long. Mm-hmm. You know, like my family had to be quarantined, your family had to be quarantined.
Mm-hmm.
That it really kind of brought that back together of like what a family unit should be.
Yeah. There was that was definitely a positive that came out of it for us, you know, our relationships with our kids. I feel like a lot of that improved too. Not that it was an issue, but it was just, you know, we had nothing to do but sit around and talk to each other and do things together. You know, the kids are helping me do things outside and getting involved in, you know, some of the outdoors activities that I participate in. So it's, yeah, it was good. As far as the shopping goes, that kind of went the other way for me. I've always been kind of a local shopper, you know, like produce.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've always liked to do that for the, so like right around the corner from us is Bites Nursery and Greenhouse. So like I would, you know, if we needed, before we grew our garden, which was another part of our new normal, you know, if we wanted to get some sweet corn or tomatoes or whatever, I'd always just drive around the corner and go pay a little more cash to them.
Uh-huh.
You know, or actually you could they're a full-on business, but it's a local person. Then go to the grocery store and do it. And so for like produce and stuff, but then like shopping, like that definitely went the other way for me.
Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, because remember when they shut down the box stores and the lawn and garden, there was all this, we've talked about that, you know, you couldn't buy lawn and garden supplies at these stores, but you could at these stores and this, it just, and that was like when I was building the, you know, making the garden and I was just like, screws the Amazon. And so it just turned into anything I need or want. It's like, oh, well, I'll just boop, boop, boop. And that's it. Don't even think twice about it anymore.
Yeah. But I think a lot of small businesses have moved to that to try to help. And just from what I've seen, a lot of businesses have opened up online sales that wouldn't have normally had online sales and tried to push that to try to keep up with places like Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is a good thing, you know, to reach out and look for. Like if you're, you know, wherever you're local trying to buy, see if you can buy it locally, even if you're buying it online.
I ordered something the other day. What was it? I don't remember, but it was from like a specific, what the hell was it? Whatever it was, I ordered from some specific website.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or, you know, it wasn't like Amazon. Like I was looking for something in particular, get to this website, company out of Canada, ordered it, sent it. And then I got an email from the owner the next day, like a personalized, like, hey, Bob, hey, thanks for ordering your whatever. If you have any other needs along that, let us know. And it was like, you could tell from the context of the email that I'm sure it was a boilerplate, but like this dude like took the time. It wasn't like an auto reply thing. Like this guy sat down and typed this out. It was the email address was like his name at the website. So it's like I didn't even realize it was a small business.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, I actually, you speak of that, I had a very similar experience, totally different type of company. I ordered from a company called Tough Wraps. It's a weightlifting company. Mm-hmm. And again, I didn't realize it was a small company.
Right.
They sent me a video that was the owner going, "Hey, Zach, thanks for your order. We really appreciate it." And I'm sure he sat down and filmed, you know, filmed them back to back to back to back.
So awesome.
It was literally a video and he said my name and he said, "Thanks for the order." You know what I mean? It was like people taking time to do that's huge.
Yeah. You see a lot of restaurants now where you can order smaller joints that you can order online for takeout.
Mm-hmm.
Which was new. A lot of like big places had that already. But yeah, I've seen, like there's a lot of, you know, little, like Becky and I ordered from Iron Shoe Distillery in Niles.
Mm-hmm.
Place that had that terrible whiskey, but they got really good food.
Yeah.
That had on the one
that
live.
That you accidentally had on the one live and just totally botched that one.
But they're a single location, very small family, new business.
Mm-hmm.
And like you go to their website because we want to look at their menu and it's like order online. So there's like, you know, like when you order like t-shirts and stuff, there's like companies like Shopify or whatever where you can like link onto your site to have people shop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's companies out there now like that. So like we're able to just get on their like on their website and say, "Oh, I'll have this, 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 and this. This is the time I want to pick it up." Click.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of places have that now.
Yeah. We've had a couple local restaurants, small restaurants like the cafe in Bridgman.
Mm-hmm.
You can order online.
Yeah.
There's another little cafe in Stevensville that you can order online and they deliver.
Nice.
I mean, it's tiny. That's like the size of this room.
Nobody delivers to the Rough Compound.
You are way the fuck out here. Mm-hmm. In the nicest city in the America or whatever, that's Reader's right. Digest.
That's right, Reader's
how,
Digest.
How did that happen? Can we go on to this tangent for a second? How did that happen?
This is a nice town.
I beg to do. I'm not saying it's not a nice town.
You said you got a gun pulled on you in this town.
Yes.
What were the circumstances?
I was little. And, like, it shouldn't have happened.
And when was it?
This was probably early 90s.
Okay, so 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Wait, so you're what, six?
Yeah, I was little.
What were you doing?
Nothing.
Part of town in Buchanan.
That's where family lived.
You had family that lived there?
Yeah.
And so you were just walking down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And some person just said, "Hey, little boy," and put a gun to your head.
I didn't say put a gun to my head. I said pulled a gun on me.
What does that mean?
It pulled a gun on me, pointed a gun at me.
So he pointed it at you. That's what I said.
You said put it at my head. That's a whole Jesus.
Well, what
Christ.
Part of your body did he point
Jesus
it at?
Jesus Christ. Point it right at my chest. Like, I totally remember it. 100%.
Equally as lethal.
Yeah.
Did he say anything to you?
Yeah. He's like, "You want to see a real gun?"
So you were out playing guns?
We were just walking.
You was playing guns?
No, we weren't.
Like, you guys weren't playing with like Nerf guns or something?
No. And it scared the shit out of me.
And so he was like, "Want to see a real gun?" And he pointed at your chest?
Yeah. And then disappeared. Huh.
Well, that guy doesn't live here anymore.
We don't know that.
30 years later. Dude, our town is one like...
Okay, I'm not saying it's not a nice town. But I will let
but
you
defend it. But I think a lot
of
it has to do with the, like the high school, like the high school fans awards. Like, they've won like nationwide contests for, you know, they have the judges that go around to the fans at the basketball games and stuff like that. And one thing I always liked, I couldn't wait to come back here when we moved back is where I grew up. You know, thing like Friday night football games are not this year, but normally are the same as they were when I was in school. Like a lot of school, like in Bridgman where I lived there, like Friday night, the football game, it was the players' families and a few fans that went to the games.
Mm-hmm.
Buchanan was never like that. Friday night was the whole town came out and watched the football game. And it was a place, time to socialize. And that was like the hangout. And it was like when I moved back here, when Quentin was in the marching band, like the first Friday night football game I went to was like still jam packed out. I'm like, "Oh, yep, there's Dad and Mikey and Larry. They're all standing in the same place they stood at 25 years ago when I was in high school playing football, you know."
I just found it such a strange thing, distinction to
me. Yeah,
be
I don't know exactly how it happened, but I mean, I don't disagree with it either. And then you got, you know, Buchanan had a couple of during all kind of all the social stuff that's been going on with Black Lives Matter and George Floyd and you know, Jacob Blake and all these things that have happened. There have been multiple like protests in town, but they were always like peaceful marches. And like some of them made even kind of national news that you had, you know, and the police department was involved in helping escort and be part of it. Plus, we have 4 or 5 marijuana dispensaries in our tiny little town.
So that makes it the best?
Makes it happy.
Mind you have 4 or 5 dispensaries. They're like within a block of each other.
Yeah.
They're like across the street.
There's 2 across the street from each other downtown. There's 2 across the street from each other uptown. There's another one. Where's the other one? There's one, two. There's three downtown, aren't there? Two across the street from each other, another one down there. Yeah.
Yeah, and mind you that he said there's three downtown and two uptown. That is a half a mile apart. That is not.
and when I say that, literally, there's part of the town is down here, and then there's a hill, and then there's another part of the town, downtown, uptown. Is the distinction, which that hill every year they close down and have a big festival where they do they make a giant water slide out of that and make a whole festival all summer and in the summertime. And then they close down in the winter and do the Thrill on the Hill or whatever, where they cover it with snow.
I see you're trying to sell me on this.
I'm just saying that's why there's a lot of big things that they do for the community.
See, you're
here.
Trying to sell me on this.
Our town, anybody that goes to our high school and they graduate, they get $10,000 towards college because of a philanthropist that left a bunch of money to the school.
Wait, what?
Mm-hmm. It's called the Buchanan Promise.
Fuck that. I'm moving my kids.
Oh, it is. Yeah. They get, if you go to their entire schooling at Buchanan, when you graduate, you get $10,000 towards college, and it could be used on tuition, room and board, books, whatever. And then it's prorated depending on, like, if you came in middle school, then it's a, you know, percentage of that or whatever.
Moving my kids.
But it was all, you ever drive down Schrimmer Parkway?
Uh-huh.
Well, Gary Schrimmer is the one that left all that money to the school.
That's impressive.
Also, might not be named Gary.
Gary. God bless him.
Mr. Schrimmer.
Oh, you got me. You were confident when you say things. You really, like, put that out there, and you're like,
100% made up that name.
Had me on that.
But
one.
That was the last name, that guy. Nice little town.
God, you had me moving there.
Nice little town. I'm glad I live here today, the day this drops, because I feel like shit's going to be bad. I don't want to be negative, but man, I'm scared. No matter who wins.
Awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So
that's back, to talk about a new normal.
Yeah. I want to go back on topic for a minute. With everything coming up, being that the election just happened yesterday, moving forward, Thanksgiving in a few weeks. Christmas a few weeks after that.
Deer camp next week.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. You're still going with those guys. But say, you know, your mom is high risk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you guys talked about Thanksgiving, what you guys are going to attempt to do? Do you guys do Thanksgiving?
Yeah, we do. We'll probably do it here is what we usually do.
Okay.
I smoke a turkey and everybody comes over. Yeah, I mean, things are a little different with my mom. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't touch. We go to her house, which if you've met my mom, you know that is a struggle for her.
Yeah.
Not to maul everyone and her kids and her grandkids and kiss on them and hug on them. But no, I go over there now. I go over there a few times a week and I just sit on the couch on the other side of her.
But are you going to limit people? I mean, are you going to limit like your brother and his girlfriend? Are you going to limit cousins? Are you going to limit?
We don't do it that big. So like my brother and his girlfriend will be invited. They probably will have their own thing to do. But usually what we do is a couple of years ago, we started doing this. So to avoid us, like this year, we're going to be at Becky's parents and this year we're going to be at my parents. And they're always bouncing around the holidays. We just decided a couple of years ago, like we're done traveling for the holidays. So you're all invited to our house, come or not come, but this is where we're doing it. So her parents will come. My parents will come. My brother will be invited. Her brother will be invited. I don't know if either one of them will make it. And my niece who lives with my parents now will come. But no, we're all like kind of part of the same. We it's not a technical term. We consider our quarantine circle.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, I'm around my parents. I'm around Becky. Becky's around her parents. You know, that like, we're all like, if anyone in this group gets it, it's going to get passed around to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of like, this is already our little quarantine circle. But I think I talked about it here, but my mom was already, my mom already had COVID.
Yeah.
Maybe. She tested before. I'm sure I've already told the story, but she had to get a shoulder surgery. And right now, before you get any surgery, you have to get tested, especially if you have an autoimmune disease like my mom. And they tested her before the surgery and then called her and said, you're positive. So, you know, you have to quarantine for 2 weeks. And it scared the shit out of us, all of us, obviously.
Yeah.
But then they're like, it also took 7 days to get the results of the test. It was like, so she was positive.
For the last 7 days.
7 days.
Mm.
And she never had a single symptom. And that was, I do, because I remember saying when the doctor told us that, quote, a lot of these are false positives. It's like, then what the fuck are we doing? What do you mean a lot of them are false positives?
Yeah.
But she never had a symptom.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. See, we're in a different predicament than you are, though. We have the same idea, is that we stopped going places and said, we're doing Thanksgiving at our house. You can come to our house. But that now includes my mom's family, which is, you know, my parents are divorced. So
right.
That includes my mom's family. That includes my dad's family. That includes my wife's family.
Mm-hmm.
Both sets of grandparents. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So then we would get in the predicament of,
That's a lot of people in
your
house.
That's a lot of people. And who's comfortable with that?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
so what are you going to do?
I don't know. I think we're going to leave it up to discretion of people because honestly, we're okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
The issue for us is we're with those people. We go to those people.
Right.
They're not together.
Right.
So how do they feel?
So you hang out with person A and you hang out with person B, but A and B don't hang out with each other.
Yes. Yeah. So I think we're just going to end up leaving it up to the discretion of them, whether they want to come or not.
And people will have, that's an interesting concept. I agree with you 100%. What my feelings on this all along has been, I think people have the right to assess their own risk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like in that case, like if you're like, I'm not afraid of this, right or wrong, I'm not worried about it. I'll accept these consequences.
Mm-hmm.
But the people coming there are like, but you can choose if you're willing to accept these risks. If you're not, that's okay. Don't come,
mm-hmm.
you know, or whatever you want to do. Have you heard from any, or you haven't discussed it yet? I feel like this is going to be your wife's decision, by the way.
100% is my wife's decision. She's probably listening, just going, what the fuck are you talking about? Right. I've already decided this.
Here we got Joe Jurgensen as president, just found out, and...
Thank God. I hope she's
now president. You're throwing this Thanksgiving shit on me?
You know Spike Cohen would be a vice president?
His Who? Name,
Spike Cohen?
Mm-mm.
It's a vice president. That's our new vice president, Spike Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping. Anyways, yeah, my wife is probably like cussing at me right now listening to this, but...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we've kind of, as far as that goes, we've kind of left it up to the decision of the grandparents on right. what they want to do. They're the most vulnerable.
Sure.
You know, my dad has been going through some stuff, some heart trouble, battled cancer earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he's going to do, but we've been around him.
Right.
Yeah, so who knows, you know? And with that being said, we actually had a cookout the other day at my mother's house with my grandparents there. My brother works security at the hospital. And he sat off by himself in the corner with the mask on the whole time. We were outside.
Right.
And I asked him, I said, are you sick? He said, hell no, I work in Coronaville. He's like, right, I don't know what I have.
Yeah,
so
smart. But so that's interesting. So he was conscious of that because of your grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
But did they, like, were they concerned? Would they have been like, dude, just come over here? Or were they like, no, that makes sense?
I think when he did it, they were like, oh, that's really nice of him.
Right.
But I don't think they would have thought that way.
Right.
Had it not been for him.
It's tricky.
It's really tricky.
I just keep my circle so small. I've always been kind of that way anyway, but so that like this new normal has been pretty easy for me. Like I said, like Thanksgiving, it used to be, you know, my parents would have all the aunts and uncles and cousins and all that, and it was just got to be like, I don't mean to be crotchety. I love all my family, but I'm like this is too much bullshit. This is supposed to be It was like 1 year where we were bouncing around all over the place, these massive gatherings everywhere, way before, you know, a couple years ago. And it was just like, this is not fun. Like, my kids aren't having fun at Christmas because they got to drive around to 15 different damn places.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these people, and we're going to you know, Christmas Eve dinners full of people. We don't even know half of them. And that's just like, look, I don't want to be an asshole, but we're done. Like, you guys are you and you. Are welcome, and we're going to have family. We've just really, and I think this Corona stuff has really driven that home even more, where it's like, my number one priority is my immediate family.
Yeah.
Like, I want to spend quality family time with my wife, my children, my parents, my in-law, like, and that's, you know, and my brother when he's around, but like, that's as far as I need this. I love these people. If I see him somewhere, I'll be happy to see him, but I just, like, I can't do that all the time.
Yeah, we're there with Christmas. Christmas is a weird thing for us because we were always going to my mom's.
Right.
Get up Christmas morning, go to my mom's.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make sense anymore. Like, my brother and sister are grown-ass adults.
Right.
You know, don't live at home, have jobs, grown-ass adults.
Right, and you have your own children.
And I have my own children who Christmas is about. So why are we going to get up in the morning?
Dude, we went through the same exact thing. We would get up and we'd go to Becky's parents.
Uh-huh.
We'd get up. So our routine was, now mind you, with us being blended, we have the kids every other year for Christmas. You know, some years we don't have my kids, my ex-wife's from Colorado. So every other year they're in Colorado for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
The year they're not and they're here, you know, the routine would be, you know, they'd be with me Christmas Eve. Christmas morning we'd get up, open our presents at our house, and then quick over to the mother-in-law's place, and they'd open gifts over there, and then come back, and then we'd run down to my parents' house. They can open up gifts there, and then take them to their mom so they could go open gifts there, you know, it was just all this running. It was the same thing. It's like, why? Like, we finally told our parents, we're like, listen, you aren't dragging kids around. You come to our house if you want to see, if you want to see the kids open your prizes, bring them to us so they can actually sit at home and enjoy their prizes.
Can we talk about that for a second?
About what?
So, since I've known you, you call them prizes. You call them birthday prizes. You call You're the only person I've ever heard say this. I've known you for a couple of years. We've become friends. I've known you for a while, but we've become friends over the last couple of years.
Uh-huh.
You call them prizes. Where the fuck did that come from, man? That's a weird thing to say.
I've never shared with anyone where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple reasons I continue to do it.
Okay.
One is because it bothers people, and that makes me laugh.
I don't want to say it bothers me, but I definitely notice it. Like, you're like, I got birthday prizes. I'm like, No, that is a fucking prize. You didn't win that.
I tell my son, who's editing this right now, that we might as well call them prizes because once your generation came into playing soccer and everybody got a prize, even if you suck and lose every game, might as well call these prizes because you did just as much to earn them. So that's what I tell him is the reason why. More so, it's just because it stirs up conversation and it annoys people. But if you think real, real hard, maybe you can't figure it out, but some of you listening, if you think real, real hard, it came from a movie that people my age watched as we were kids. It was a sequel movie. You think about it? You'll never guess it. I wonder if anyone will guess it.
All right. Well, don't say it. We'll figure it out later.
Well, I'm going to say it before the episode's over. You got to leave in 11 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Yeah, it was just something when I was a little kid, I heard him say it in this movie, and I thought, that's really a really cool way to say it. And so I've always said it that way, and it's always driven everyone nuts.
All right, what is it?
Anybody? Did any of you guess it? Any of you guess it?
Comment below in YouTube.
I'll give you a clue, and you can guess, but I want to see if you actually know the scene. The actor who said it was Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, the fuck if I know. Is it one of the Rockies?
It was one of the Rockies.
It's Rocky 14, where he beats up the alien.
Nope.
I don't know.
Are you not a Rocky fan?
No, I've seen Rocky one time.
You've never seen Rocky 4?
Yeah, I've seen through the Rockies one time, and that's I've never seen.
It was in Rocky 4, which is the best Rocky.
Which one is that?
The one with the Russian.
Oh, yeah. If he dies, he dies.
This damn Russian collusion.
Yeah.
In that fight.
That was 4?
That was part 4.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If he dies, he dies.
It's Rocky and Adrian's anniversary, and he gives her, there's like, I think they have like a cake, and he says, here, you got to open up your prize.
Okay.
And she's like, prize? And he's like, yeah, it's your prize for your anniversary. And he gives her like this bracelet or so, whatever it was. But I just remember as a kid watching that.
Yeah.
And him saying, he was giving her a gift, and he said, here's your prize. I'm like, I like that. And this is the first time ever, you heard it here first. This is the first time I have ever told a single soul in the world where that came from.
I'm glad you did.
It's a Rocky IV reference. Beat that, motherfuckers. I got a 30-year-long Rocky IV reference going on that no one caught on to.
That was good. That was really, really good. Guys, I have a hard out today. Not a hard on today, but a hard out today. So,
you're on a roll today is what you are.
Yeah, yeah. Couple things I want to address. The next couple weeks, you know, obviously probably next episode is going to be post-election reaction. So it's still going to be political. But past that, I think we're going to have a couple fun episodes. You know, we've got a fun one lined up coming up that I'm not going to spoil because it's going to be fun.
If you can get your granddaddy in here.
But we're going to have a fun one. I want to still do the wife episode. So mm-hmm. You guys let us know if you guys want to hear from the wives. Mm-hmm. And I think we should do another live episode somehow.
I do too.
I think
the tricky part, I would love to do the live episodes with us both here,
mm-hmm.
I can't figure out the logistics of it.
Yeah, how to stream everything.
Because the easiest way to, so the way we did though, is we do them on Zoom,
mm-hmm.
and then when we're doing them on Zoom, you can link that right to YouTube Live,
uh-huh.
or Facebook Live, or whatever. But if it's on Zoom, there's only one camera, unless we're sitting right next to each other. And I thought, well, you can have your computer over there, and me have my computer over here, but our internet is not that powerful to stream yours and mine and YouTube all at the same time.
We'll have to figure this out.
There'll be some echo. There's got to be a way to do it. Some of you technical people out there, computer folks, let us know. I would love to just do live shows.
They were fun. They were so much fun.
Yeah. I mean, like physically live, but that's just not an option anymore. Also, there's not enough people. If we did a live show in any city in America, we'd have 15 people show up.
You don't know that.
But we could have 15 in just about any city in America.
Here's the deal. We did stand-up and had people come.
That's true, but there was like 15 people.
That doesn't matter. We brought more people than anybody else.
That's true.
So we win.
That's true. Maybe that could be our new shtick, because we do once the pandemic is over, we just do a live tour, and it turns out that our live tours are more fun than our podcasts, and we just become live tourers.
I like that. Dude Perfect did that.
The other night, Bert and Tom were in, or is it coming up the 28th? They're going to be in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah. That's going to be fun.
I wish I was in California. I would go to it. Is it going to be, can you watch it?
Oh, I don't know. I would like to.
I think it's just a live thing.
I just meant, yeah, I mean, like, I would like to watch that. Like, be there and watch that.
Me too.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
The Cabin.
Watch it.
Just trying to button up some loose ends.
Watch
the Cabin, Bert Kreischer's new show. Get past the first episode and you'll find out it's actually a pretty interesting, funny show.
It's worth watching.
David Letterman's My Next Guest Needs No Introduction.
We were
somehow
just talking about that.
Three seasons in, I just found it the other day.
I just heard about it yesterday.
Dude, it's their third season. Fantastic.
Yeah, I've heard it's
great,
really good.
Great interviews. However, they had Ellen DeGeneres on pre-scandal, and that episode does not age well. You know, her whole scandal is, you know, the way she treated all of her employees.
Yeah.
Which, fun fact about that, I know someone who used to work for her.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I know him very well, and he worked for her for a long time. And this is before the scandal came out, and I said something about her, and he said, she's the devil and she has no soul. I'm like, I was like, dude. She's like the nicest lady in the world. Like, she dances and she gives away prizes to people and does all this stuff. And he's like, she is fake. She's horrible. She's the worst woman. Like, literally has no soul. I was ready to leave Hollywood to work for anyone but her. I'm like, bullshit. And sure enough, a couple months later, that came out. But in the episode, Dave is, I won't spoil it, but it's nothing bad, but it just definitely doesn't age well. Now that, you know, that she has a big scandal about mistreating her employees, and he's walking around her set, and there's some things that they say are funny, that were funny at the time.
Yeah.
Not so much now.
Oof.
Interesting. They had Kanye West on, they had Kim Kardashian, Robert Downey Jr. one is fantastic, Dave Chappelle one is fantastic, Zach Galifianakis one is fantastic.
Yeah, I've heard the Dave Chappelle one was really good.
Yeah. Bill Gates' wife, Melinda, I think is her name.
Mm-hmm. That sounds right.
She was on there.
Also, in case you guys didn't want to know or wanted to know still, I still got uninvited to Mike's wedding.
Still.
2 weeks ago.
Now and forever.
3 weeks ago when this drops.
We might as well end it because these last 5 minutes are not even going to happen because all you're doing is looking at the clock, making me nervous.
I haven't looked at the clock. I was looking at the time stamp.
The time stamp. We're long enough.
Good.
Okay. Well, hopefully some of you are terribly disappointed today. Some of you are very excited today. Actually, what I think is no one's going to be happy today. I think no one's going to be happy. Even if one side wins the presidency, the other's going to win the Senate, or the other way around, or whatever it is, no one's going to be happy. So just remember, all the way back to the roots of this show, just be kind to each other, love each other. We can all get through this together if we don't just start yelling at other people and calling names and being mean. Give somebody a hug. Love them. Zach, thanks for being my friend.
Love you, buddy.
Love you too, man. And love you guys. We'll see you next week. Bob and Weave is an NBI Studios production, produced and edited by Mike Bussing, music by Shane Yoder of PutThemInASong.com. The artwork and our logo was created by Zach, and the video editing was done by me. You can connect with us on all forms of social media at Bob Weave Pod. And if you'd rather watch than listen, check out the Bob and Weave Podcast on YouTube. If you have any questions or a guest request, you can email us at contact@BobWeavePod.com. And if you like the show, please take a minute to go on iTunes and rate and review us. On behalf of myself and Zach, we love you guys. Thanks for listening.
Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details. Save big.